Set your spirit on fire and let Dr. Luana Steins guide you to a life of purpose and fulfillment. To reach Dr. Luana Steins, call 760-315-1967 or visit atouchfromabove.org. And now here's your A Touch From Above host, Dr. Luana Steins.
God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Dr. Luana, and this is A Touch From Above. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow, I'm so excited all that God is doing. Don't forget, we're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday by the grace of God. And how can we do that? By your help. So thank you so much. Help me stay on the radio. You've been listening to my program. How can you do that? I'm glad you asked that question. Well, all you got to do is go over to atouchfromabove.org and push on the donation button. And then when it goes to that little page there, the purple page, then you can click on that little box and it'll go radio. So you can give right there online to radio. Thank you so much in advance for your faithfulness. And thank you so much for giving. And don't forget, make sure you leave me your address because I want to make sure I send you my book, A Mother's Story. Wow. My message I titled Abundant Life. You know, there's a scripture that has always, always, always kept in my heart. It says, many are the plans of a man, but it's the counsel of the Lord that puts it together. And if you ever notice our human nature, we just say, you know what, I'm gonna do whatever I need to do, and you know, I'm fine. You know, I'm gonna plan my tomorrow, my next week, my next year, and year after year after year after year. You know, and it's true, many are the plans of a man, but it's only God that can put it together. So I wanna share with you today, don't calculate your life without God. Don't do that. You know, the Bible says in John 10:10, I always give you that scripture because we have to understand who our enemy is. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he said, but I have come that you may have life and that you may have life more abundantly. Do you know what that means when you think about that scripture? Satan comes to steal. What does he mean? That means to take, to rob, to rip off. But what is the opposite? What Jesus said, I came to give, I came to bless more than you expected. Well, what about kill? The Bible says the devil comes only but to kill, steal, and destroy. Do you understand the word kill? It's to devastate, to demolish, and to ruin. Jesus is the opposite, revive and preserve. When Satan says in John 10:10, he comes to destroy, what does that mean? Tear down. Damage, spoil, wreck. What does God say? I came to build. I came to build. Jesus came to give us life and life more abundant. John chapter 3, verse 17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come. Light has come into the world, and men love their darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. Whoa. Somebody told me not too long ago, why do you preach about sin? You're condemning, you're condemning. I said, excuse me? I said, Jesus talked all about against sin. I said, why do you feel condemned? I said, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So the only reason somebody can get condemned is, guess what? It's when you're walking in your flesh. If you're walking in your flesh and you're doing what you're not supposed to do, and you hear the truth, don't beat me over the head with the truth. Don't beat me over the head. Nobody's beating you over the head with the truth. I'm sorry the Holy Ghost is trying to hit you upside the head, but I'm not. The word is powerful. Jesus is the giver of life, and we are to be the giver of life as well. And we have to understand life in Christ or life in the world. Where are you at today? Are you living in the world? You know, when people read Ephesians chapter 5, even though it talks like it seems like he's really talking about a marriage between a husband and a wife, do you realize in Ephesians chapter 5, he's talking about the church? He's talking about the bride of Christ and Jesus, the groom. Let me read it to you. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands and everything. Now, in your mind, you're thinking, oh my gosh, he's talking about marriage. Well, yes and no. He's talking about the church. And if you go to Ephesians and you go to read in Ephesians, it is very clear. All right, let me continue. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle of any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Do you understand what he's saying there? Husbands, Jesus is the groom. We are the bride. The church is the bride of Christ, that he washes us and sanctifies us. How? Through the word. Why? The washing of water by the word, that he might present who? The bride, us, to himself, Jesus, a glorious church. What? Without spot or wrinkle of any such thing, that she should be holy without blemish. When have you ever seen an ugly bride? Think about this. Here you see the bride. Here comes the bride. Dun, 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 dun. And there you are at the wedding. And all of a sudden you look back and everybody stands and everybody's going, here she comes. She's got a Convert tennis with holes in it. Her toes are sticking out. She's got stains all over her wedding dress. Her hair's a mess. The makeup is all smeared. The lipstick's all smeared. And she looks a wreck, and she's coming down the aisle. Her flowers got half flowers that are dead, and some of them are weeds on it. Hello? Can you imagine that? What Jesus is saying, that the bride, the church, is to be without spot or wrinkle. So here's the church. Oh, people are still smoking pot and getting high. Oh, the church. Come on. Let's talk about this. Excuse me, that's a spot. Oh, excuse me about that wrinkle. What are you doing fornicating? What are you doing sleeping with your girlfriend? What are you doing sleeping with your boyfriend? You're not married. Well, we're kind of married. There ain't no such thing as kind of. Either you is or you isn't. There's no such thing as kind of married. I've been saved for over 43 years, darling. I've heard them all. Trust me. And I've been out in the field, pioneered 3 amazing churches by the grace of God. And I've heard every excuse that one can come up with. And that's really what they are. They're just excuses. But God's not looking for excuses. God's looking for his church to be without spot or wrinkle. And how in the world is the church, the bride, going to be without spot or wrinkle? By the washing of the word. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a holy and a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is God's good, perfect, and his acceptable will. You see, we cannot live like the world. And this is exactly what he's saying here. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does his church. Well, if you go on and you're reading, he goes on in verse 32 of that same chapter, Ephesians chapter 5. He says, this, now you get, they're just describing what you would think is a marriage. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a great mystery. Let me read that again. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. You see, he's talking about the church. He's talking about the bride of Christ to be pure and to be holy. But do you realize how many people calculate their life on this earth without Christ not even being involved in it? You see, we have to allow Christ to sanctify us Salvation is amazing. And through salvation, God begins to wash us with the word, cleanse us and wash us pure and clean. He purifies us. Why? To make us holy. Why? He nourishes, he encourages, he supports us, he cherishes. We're his treasure. We have value. He appreciates us. He esteems you and I. But what happens when you can't speak the truth in love? What happens when you have somebody in your church that's just a rebellious booger? I'm telling you, a little booger that doesn't want to listen, doesn't care, don't tell me what to do. Well, you know, the Bible says that correction is a way of life. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 5 through 6 says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You see, correcting is no fun, and yet it's greatly needed in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells us in verse 14 through 16 that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see, Christ loves his church. He loves his church. Now, I want to talk to all of you that are still not going to church. I love you, but COVID's been over for a long time. Well, you know, I'm just... Now, if you're older, senior, or you're sick, or you can't get a ride, and you are a senior, and, you know, there's a difference there. But if you're young, you drive, and you go to work, and you play golf, and you go camping, and you go fishing, and you do all these things you want to do, but on Sunday, you're going to sit on your rumpus bumpus, and you're going to watch TV. I want you to know something. You are sinning. Why? Because my Bible tells me you're sinning. Why? Because Hebrews tells me, do not forsake the gathering of the assembly of the saints in the last days of his coming, as so many have. You see, we're called to assemble together. Well, I'm a long ranger. No, you're not. You're rebellious. You're ornery. You're obnoxious. You're lazy. You got to get up and you got to come to church. Well, you know, how do I know if COVID is over? That's funny. You go to Walmart. Isn't that amazing? You go to McDonald's. You go sit in the nice restaurant. You talk to the waitress just about, what, 3 inches away?
Yes, I think I'll take me a steak if you don't mind. Yes, can you make it rare, please? Excuse me, ma'am.
Hello. See them excuses. Everybody's got these excuses. The truth is, the devil used COVID to shake the body of Christ as much as he could. And guess what? There's a lot of lukewarm Christians now out there. I'd like to tell you that you're hot for Jesus, but I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. There were 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 said, you know what? He's still lame. I could stay at home and watch the TV. No. 5 said, you know what? They played around, and they just thought Jesus wasn't coming. All of a sudden, they said, the bridegroom is coming. And 5 of them were wise. They had oil in their lamp. They were at church, and they were praying, and they were worshiping, and they were loving God, and they're ready, and they lit their lamps. The bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is calling us. Oh, my goodness. And the 5 that were foolish go, huh? Well, what? Oh, wait a minute. No, can I get some of your oil? And the 5 wise said, no. Go get your own oil. At least there'd not be enough for me. So while they went, I gotta go get some oil. They went to go get their oil. Guess what? The Bible says the door was open. And they all, the five wise went in. And all of a sudden, the door was shut. Guess what? The 5 foolish went,
excuse me, Lordy Poo. Excuse me, Lord, hello, Lord. Open up to us, Lord. Did we not cast out the devils in your name? Did we not praise at home? Oh, come on, Lord. I was watching TV. I was watching the church. Lord, I promise I know I was making a few eggs every now and then. And I know I went outside in the back with the dog, but at least the church program was on. Them excuses are not going to make it on the other side, darling. You know what the psalmist David said? The psalmist David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Do you know what else the Bible says? That those that are implanted in the house of the Lord will flourish and be blessed even in their old age. I don't know about you, but I want to be planted in the house of God. At the prayer mountain, there's these 400 or 500-year-old oaks. They're so massive. You can't even put your arm around the oak. It's so massive. And I look at that oak, and I look way up there, and I think, wow, and you shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of living water, that whatsoever you do, you will prosper. But the wicked are not so. They're like the wind. An old dry leaf, Psalms chapter 1, tossed in the wind. I can't go to church today. I can't go to church today. Ouch, I suddenly don't feel good. But isn't that funny? After church, you sure felt good, didn't you? You went out to the golf course, didn't you? You went out to the restaurant, didn't you? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I saw you on the bicycle. Uh-huh. I thought you didn't feel good.
Well, I felt much better later.
No, the truth is, you're lukewarm. I love you. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write the book. I'm just the messenger. You see, Jesus wants to give us an abundant life. And if you calculate your life without Jesus, you're going to make the greatest mistake in your life. I love you with all my heart, but I've been a preacher and I've been ministering for 43 years. And I have watched so many people in the body of Christ make a million excuses. And guess what? I look at their life and I think, oh my gosh, I just want to choke them. I just want to say, what is wrong with you? Wake up, get over yourself. Let's get you into the body of Christ. Well, I can't find any good churches. You know, one young lady told me she'd been kicked out of 28 churches. Do you know that's a problem? Not with the churches. That's a problem with her. I thought to myself, and then she was bragging about it. She came up to me and she said these words. You know, Dr. LaJuan, I've been kicked out of 28 churches. And you know, my alarm went, warning, warning, mayday, mayday. I knew right away. It's like, be careful, be wise. Well, guess what? We were the 29th. I didn't kick her out. She just left. Praise the Lord. Because sometimes you don't realize, you know what? People can get so selfish and so self-centered and so deceived. You know, the bad thing about being deceived is they don't know they're deceived. The Bible says, be a doer of the word, not only a hearer, lest you deceive yourself, in the book of James. You can read that. And the Bible says that we are to be a doer of the word, not only a hearer. And the Bible says, don't forsake the gathering of the assembling of the saints in the last days of his coming, as so many have. You see, the house of God is glorious. That's where you grow as a family. I love our church. No, we're not a big mega church. We probably never will be the big mega church because I preach it like it is. I tell the truth. And if you don't like the truth, well, you won't stay long. But I'm telling you what, we're growing, we're changing, we love each other. When somebody's hurting, everybody's there to help. What can I do to help? What can we do to do this or do that to help? Whatever it is, whatever it is. We are family, and that's exactly what the church body is. The church body, you know, iron sharpeneth iron. You ever take two swords and hit them together? We had another one of our drama presentation. We had somebody make some swords for us. And so I said, all right. And we had the Roman costumes. We made Roman costumes. So he said, all right, guys, you're going to have to act like you're fighting the swords. And so they put the swords, and we're talking real metal swords. So they lift the swords and started clashing them together, and you could see the sparks flying. And I thought, man, that's like the word of God. Iron sharpeneth iron. And then you think about the word of God. In Hebrews, it says, the word of God is as a double-edged sword.
piercing deep, deep into the heart of man. You see, this word, if you don't take it and apply it, how can you have the abundant life that Christ wants for you? If you just take bits and pieces, I'm sorry. Did you ever have, what do you call those cereals with the marshmallows and the Cheerios cereals? And all of a sudden you're picking out what you don't want. You know, you can't do that with the Bible. You can't, it's not a cereal box. You don't just try on Jesus. You don't change over here like you're changing your underwear. Come on, Jesus, you don't try him on. Jesus is Lord. He wants to be Lord. He wants to be master of your life. And let me tell you something. You have to understand when Isaiah talked about Jesus coming, oh my gosh, this is such a powerful prophetic word in Isaiah chapter 35. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands. Make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with recompense of God. He will come and save you. The eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer. The tongue of the dumb shall sing. The water shall burst forth into the wilderness, the streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water in the inhabitation of the jackals. There, where each lie, there will be grass with reeds and rushes. Oh, Psalms 37, verse 5, commit your ways to the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Why are you calculating your life without God? Why? Why are you stubborn as a donkey? Do we need to put a bridle on you or what? Why do you just resist what God says? You know what? How long are you going to live in heartache and turmoil? How long are you going to have strife in your home? Do you understand what you're doing to your kids? Do you understand the example? You know, your kids ain't going to do what you say. They're going to do what they see. They're going to follow your example. And if you're stubborn as a donkey, you're going to have some little donkey stubborns. You don't want to do that. You want to lead them to Christ. Train them up in the ways of the Lord, and when they are older, they shall not depart. By the grace of God, my two kids they love Jesus. My daughter's a vocalist. She's done her third Christian CD. She helps another church with their worship. They needed help. Can I tell you, there's no excuses. My son struggled for a little bit, but you know what? He came right back, you know, and he's serving God with all of his heart. You got to let go to let God. You want the abundant life of Christ? Then stop being stubborn. Jesus, please forgive me. Come on, say it. Jesus, I'm stubborn as a donkey. Please don't put a bridle on me. Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry for being ornery. Please, Lord, change me, mold me, shape me. Help me, Lord, because I can't help myself. In Jesus' name, devil, get away from me. I surrender my heart to Christ. Amen. Did you say that prayer? Good. Do me a favor. Get in that car and come up to the prayer mountain. If it's wintertime, you dress warm. In the summertime, don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Come a little bit earlier so you can get a cup of coffee down by the coffee shop. Hallelujah. And come in and bring your Bibles. Let's learn the Word of God. Grab a table and a chair, sit down. And God is so good. He loves you so much. Don't miss out on the abundant life of Christ. He is awesome, awesome, awesome. I love you.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Luana Steins. Have you read her book, A Mother's Story? It's a must-read, a heart-gripping, true story. A murdered husband, a single mother, and a fight with cancer. For your support of any amount, you'll receive her book. Send your support to A Touch From Above, P.O. Box 2800, Ramona, California, 92065, or give online at atouchfromabove.org. Come quickly to
my rescue. Join A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain as they present The Book of Ruth, a live drama, March 29th and 30th. Don't miss this powerful story of Kinsman's Redeemer, which represents Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Come early at 6 p.m. to save your seat or call ahead. Show starts at 7 p.m., limited seating available. Call 760-315-1967. A Touch From Above, Prayer Mountain, 16145 Highway 67, Ramona, California. atouchfromabove.org.
Are you distracted? Seems like everything gets in the way. Come to A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain, 25 beautiful acres. Walk up to the cross or relax in a small private cabin to pray. Bring your leaders to pray. At Prayer Mountain, God answers prayer. Even Jesus had to get away to pray. Call today and make your reservation, 760-315-1967. Your answer is just a prayer away. AtouchFromAbove.org. Like the ravages of a flood, but I call on the name of Jesus.